Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guest today is Chuck Martin. He is the CEO of the Mobile Future Institute and director of the Center of Media Research at Media Post Communications, and he's also the author of a new book called The Third Screen, Marketing to Your Customers in a World Gone Mobile. So, Chuck, thanks for joining me.
Oh, great to be here, John.
So in writing this book, we're talking about off the air, you did a ton of research on this, so I'm sure you came up with some statistics. I think it's we probably shouldn't need to do this anymore because I think that smartphone penetration seems to be at about 100% in some markets. But, where are we in terms of usage and adoption of this tool we're going to talk about?
Well, there are a couple things and a few ways to look at it. If you look at the number of just cell phones, globally, we're at over 5 billion. And in context, and this is why we call it the third screen, obviously, the first screen, the TV, there are 2 billion. PCs, there are 1 billion. So when you look at phones at 5 billion, that's an extraordinary number, no matter how you look at it. There are 75 countries where cell phone penetration exceeds the population of the entire country. And this includes babies. I mean, it's the entire population. The U.S. market, we're at about 94% penetration, almost 300 million. And where we are now is we're going rapidly to smartphones from cell phones. So we started with smartphones, cell phones, obviously. And the big change was in 07 when Apple introduced the iPhone, not because it was Apple, but because it showed what could be done in this little handheld device, which was phenomenal. And then a lot of companies have taken it from there, including Apple, Google, and so forth. So where we are now is we're 36% of people who have phones in the U.S. are smartphones, and by the end of this year, it'll be 50%. So there's a 50-50 mix by the end of this year of half and half. So it's rapidly moving that way, mainly because of the capability.
Yeah, and even those that were, I don't know, what do we call them, dumb phones? I don't know. Even those that are non-smartphones, still receive text messages and some things that we're going to talk about today. So
this year, that 7 trillion text messages will be sent. Yeah. I mean, 7 trillion. Yeah. I mean, this almost sounds like budget kind of stuff in the U.S.
Well, I still have kids on my cell phone plan, so I know about the volume that that people can produce in their texting.
200,000 texts a second being sent.
Now, are we including tablets in this now? I mean, you mentioned the iPhone. I mean, is the iPad lumped into this because of its portability?
No, we actually don't look at that as part of the third screen revolution. No. It's really sort of it's closer to netbooks and notebooks and PCs than it is to mobile phones.
Yeah.
Because the reality is when you're doing something with mobile, you're doing it kind of everywhere. When you leave your house in the morning, you have your keys, your wallet, and your phone.
Yeah.
I mean, you may forget your keys, but you don't forget your phone.
Right.
That's not true with tablets. They don't really fit in your pocket.
Yeah. Plus, I look really stupid with an iPad up to my ear too.
It's like you can't make phone calls with them as a minor detail. Yeah. I mean, not that people use phones for phone calls,
yeah,
but
right.
If they could.
Right. Now, I talk to a lot of marketers, and there's still, I mean, everybody, this is one of those topics. It's probably like when we were in the first days of just, really realizing we had to be online. There's a lot of buzz about this whole mobile topic and from marketing standpoint, but there's also a lot of apprehension and even, I don't know if fear is the right word, but even some people saying, hey, I'm not getting into that because that's just, I don't like spam in my email, and that's all mobile marketing is, but now it's on a different device.
That is true in some cases. But in the course of the research over the last year, we found a lot of companies who just, they don't get it.
Right. That's what I mean. And part of it's just that that's maybe been their only experience and they don't realize the breadth, right?
Right. Well, individually, this is the first time where mobile is where the web was in 1996. That's where mobile is right now.
Right.
The difference is in 96, you had to increase the market by another person getting on the net. People weren't on the net.
Mm.
Now the network globally is built. We look at net access like, well, of course I'm on the net.
We're
wired all the time into the network. And mobile is now tapping into that. So every individual who has a phone, it is plugged into everything. The difference is, from a marketer standpoint, is the company, no matter what size, small or large, they have a much higher responsibility for just what you mentioned, spam, because someone can turn them off. If they've opted in for, say, text messages or whatever, what messages from a company, whether it's deals or anything, they can very quickly say, I don't want this from you anymore. And all of a sudden, bang, they're gone.
Yes.
And so it's much more of a pull medium than a push medium. So we can't really broadcast content or broadcast messages out to people with mobile phones like we could with TV, which was really simple. We really need to wait for the consumer to pull something, which means a company has much more responsibility to provide a higher value, which is this is about the value proposition and behavioral change. It's not so much about the technology. The technology is really just enabling it. So it's really about the company being dramatically more responsible and also being having availability of information and service when the customer wants it based on location. And that's a lot of different implications than the way it has been in the past.
Well, and fundamentally, search and certainly this concept of inbound marketing have both become very accepted practices and necessary, that we participate in those. So, I think one of the things that gets people's attention when we start talking about, what role does mobile play in search and what role does mobile play in being found?
We actually, in the book, we separated search from what we call finding.
Mm-hmm.
And we refer to the new tools for mobile as finders as opposed to search engines.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you're doing searching, you're sitting at your computer and you're kind of looking at a whole range of things. You start with something that you think you really want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So you have something before you start. With mobile, you're looking at things based on location and when you want it, and the phone knows where you are, so it knows the proximity to pretty much everything that you're near, and that's a totally different thing than search. So when you need actually less is more with mobile. You're not looking for a website, for example. You're near something. You're looking for give me the review on these two restaurants. I'm trying to decide between the two.
Yeah, or the hours of operation or something, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And the finders. On the search, some of the finders on mobile, they actually, if a place is closed, they don't advance it's closed. They don't even provide that as an option.
Hmm.
So you don't have that place just doesn't show up in the search.
Huh. It's a lot like I remember the days. I've been doing this a long time, and I remember the days when Yellow Pages sales folks used to talk about why the Yellow Pages was so important, because when people used it, there was this high level of intent. And I think that high level of intent has now gone to the mobile device, hasn't it?
Oh, that's totally correct. I mean, remember Yellow Pages actually are still being published.
Yes.
I know it's hard to believe.
I still try to catch that guy when he throws it on my doorstep and tell him to take it back. But that's another story.
Your driveway. what a concept. But it was relevant at the time. With mobile, the location is known, and with predictive modeling technology, you can determine based on what other people have done, and this is really where it's going, based on what other people have done at that location at that time, you can pretty accurately predict what that person is like, the next person is likely to be looking for from that location at that time.
So
that's a very, very different model than what we've had in the past, which is really kind of interesting. So the behavior changes for the consumer because the expectation changes, because they can say, well, it's 6 o'clock at O'Hare, and I'm looking for rental cars. Well, you're looking for something you can get to right now. This is not a leisurely give you the best deals kind of thing. It's who's got a car right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably a business traveler. You can based on predicting their mindset. So you're marketing to someone based on their mindset, and which you can determine based on their location and time.
Hmm. Well, so from a marketer standpoint, and maybe you could try to break this into the sort of good, better, best model. If somebody's listening to this and saying, you're absolutely right, the tools are there, I need to get on board. A lot of my audience are small business owners and marketers. They're not going to go out and do what maybe some of the really big brands are going to do. What would be your advice for them? Even if we're talking about dipping their toe in the water, what are some of the first actions we need to be taking as marketers if we're just trying to embrace this?
Well, the smaller businesses in this case actually have an advantage over the larger companies because they are closer to the customer. And the large companies are being very challenged right now because someone at a high level in marketing may get it and say, okay, we need to market to our customers on location, so we create all these location-based things, but they never train the salespeople. Mm-hmm. And the salespeople never hear about this, so the consumer goes in to do this thing because they spent money advertising, so they see it, and the salespeople on the floor are clueless about what you're doing. So there's this enormous disconnect. A small business, what they should do, the first thing they should do is find out what their customers do with their phones. And one of the big mistakes in mobile marketing is people at any size company, they base what their plans are based on their personal use of the phone.
Right.
And this is a potential disaster. So someone has a BlackBerry or they have an iPhone or they have an Android, they know what they do with their phone because everyone does different things with their phones. It's a highly personal device. It's a pull it close device. So they then think that that's what everybody else is doing as well because that's their universe.
Right.
And that's not necessarily true. So the first thing is find out what your customers, what kinds of phones do they have? Are they smartphones? Are they full-featured phones? Are they clamshell, old 99s? What is it they have? Do they text? Most people are texting now. I mean, we're typing with our thumbs.
If
10 years ago, someone said, you're going to learn to type with your thumbs. You say, what are you talking about? It's crazy. It makes no sense.
Right.
But that's a behavior change. We don't even give it a thought now. So you want to find out, can you get your customers' phone numbers? Now, a lot of small businesses, they're not going to sit there on their phones and send messages to other people on their phones. That's silly. But you can send text messages from a computer, which a lot of people don't realize this. There are phone numbers you can put in for Verizon service, for whatever, for AT&T service, and they're just it's a thing you put in, at such and such, you put in the phone number, and you can type a message, and you can send that to 100 customers through Microsoft Outlook at one time.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you've got a total interactive device and capability, and your customers, you have to ask them, do you want these kinds of things from us? And some will and some won't, and that's what you provide.
This halftime break is brought to you by Constant Contact. Constant Contact helps small businesses and nonprofits build great customer relationships with email marketing, event marketing, and online surveys. Visit them today at constantcontact.com and sign up for your free 60-day trial. So I guess let's start then, since you opened the can of worms. I mean, is SMS, is that what I've seen is that there's a lot of backlash on that because people are using it as an interruption device. And I think what you're talking a little bit about and what I've heard other marketers in the mobile space talk about is it's a great customer relationship tool and maybe trying to view it as a lead generating tool is probably not the best way to look at it.
What happens every time there's a new medium, what we do is we take from the previous medium and move it to this one.
Right.
And then eventually we invent what should be done for it. Just like YouTube didn't exist, it got created for the web. There's something that will get created for mobile. It doesn't exist yet. But video is huge. I mean, there are 50 million MMS messages sent a month. I mean, 50 million video messages. This is extraordinary. And that, by the way, is from the Weather Channel alone, just to give you a context.
What is that, like a dynamic radar or something?
They're sending basically video. Someone will say, I want to see this, and they basically are pulling it. Show me the weather map.
That runs on
like 700 or 800 different kinds of phones, so it looks different on different phones.
Right.
That's just one little example, although that is the largest content mobile site in the world. So the what the companies need to do is they should be doing everything. They should be having a mobile website, and a mobile website is not a website. It is totally different. And a mobile website is basically less than a website. It's based on smaller amounts of information because people, they use mobile in bite-sized chunks. They're snacking. They're not doing movies.
Well, as you talked about, in many cases they want pertinent data as opposed to, doing research, or maybe they're reading blogs, but they want that without the sidebars and all that. They just want the content.
That's right. And they actually will read a book on a phone.
Yeah.
As hard as that sounds, just to normal people, they won't sit down and read it like they would read a book. It would be in pieces over a period of time, and it might be standing at a bus stop.
Yeah.
So text messages are not going away. MMS messages are not going away. The mobile web is not going away. Apps are not going away. I mean, all of these things are potentials. It's really, what is the value that you as a business can provide to your customers via the mobile experience?
Well,
so
talk
it's
to
not
me
about just doing mobile just because you want to do mobile.
Right. So let's move to that experience. I mean, one of the hot buzzwords in mobile is this idea of location based marketing, and certainly there are the Gowallas and the Foursquares out there that everybody talks about. But are there some ways that people ought to be looking at that themselves?
Yes, there are really two ways. There's really location-based marketing and there are location-based services, and they're very different.
Mm-hmm.
And people, they miss this distinction. Location-based marketing is where the company can market directly to the consumer based on location and mindset. So this would be things like geofences, which companies like Placecast is a big company in California. They're the top in the country doing this, and they're doing it with AT&T and a lot of other big brands. And they build essentially an invisible fence or a series of fences, mm-hmm, around, say, a store. And when you get to within a certain area of that fence, a company can send a message to that person, as long as they've said, I want messages when I get there. Then the next, when they get closer, they can send them a different message. When they get closer, they can send them yet a different message. It might be a deal. It might be if they're right near a product, they say, if you buy this right now, you get a 20-25% discount or something such. So that's a conversation between the company and the consumer directly. Now, different from that are location-based services, and those are things like Foursquare, Gowalla, and so forth. Those are services where the customers are communicating with each other based on their physical location and locations of their friends. The company is not part of that conversation. And the opportunity and the challenge for the company is to become relevant while that conversation between the consumers is going on, which is why Foursquare has more than 200,000 companies who have signed up essentially to be located around location. So if you have friends that are located at a local Starbucks, you've got five friends there, well, a company who's near Starbucks, it might be another coffee company, is offering a deal. This is, mm-hmm, a deal nearby.
Yes.
And when you're checking at Starbucks, it says, hey, if you come over here, we'll give you 50% off on your coffee this morning. So that becomes a essentially being part of the conversation.
One of the things, one of the trends I see on mobile, and maybe this is due in part to kind of who the earliest folks they were targeting, which tended to be younger folks, I think. Is there a different kind of advertising? Definitely a much more edgier, more participatory. I mean, to make it actually work, is there a different kind of psychology in the advertising for mobile?
Well, the things that are working, and the demographics, by the way, it's actually the 18 to 24-year-old is not the dominant smartphone demographic. It's actually older than that.
Right.
And that's consistent in all the research that we have, that we've seen and we have in the book, that is the case. So
yeah,
this is not a youngster phenomenon.
No, I think it maybe started a little bit that way, but there's no question that, particularly the smartphones, I mean, they've become a necessary business tool. So,
exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So things that are working are in-app advertising is very successful. For whatever reason, nobody knows, but if you have an app, which is not for the faint of heart to create apps,
mm-hmm,
and it's not inexpensive either, as an aside, if you do it right. But in-app advertising is working. Advertising on the bottom of the screens, that is working.
There's two distinctions there. I think when you're talking about creating an app, and you're talking about advertising inside of your own app, I assume.
Yeah.
And then, but then, for instance, I'm a big Pandora user, which is an iPhone music app, and there are ads that I get from other parties that are clearly paying Pandora for that space, right?
Absolutely, and it is successful. People do view those ads. They, there's a very high click-through rate of ads on mobile, dramatically higher than other media, by the way. So the mobile marketing, mobile advertising is going to be pretty substantive, but it's not going to be substantive like TV broadcast advertising, where somebody watches a show and then there's the 30-second, 60-second, 2-minute kind of break, and then you come back. It's just not that kind of a model.
Yeah.
Because people don't look at their mobile phone like that. But they look at it all the time. When you think about it, in business, everybody in business no matter what they're doing, they're always looking at their phone. Like, I'll do a speech sometime, and I'll be 5 minutes into the speech, and there might be, say, 500 to 800 people. I'll say, okay, stop. It's like literally 5 minutes. How many of you have looked at your phone since I started talking? And it'd be like 70% right. of the audience. I mean, maybe I'm not talking well, but that's the way it is in business all the time now. When you go to business meetings, you'll have a group of 10 or 15 people around a table. You'll see that the phones are on the table.
Yeah. And what's and then, that? There's a term that I love, and I'm probably not going to get it right, but partial consistent distraction or something like that.
Oh, that sounds like a great term. I'm going to check that out. but it's consistent. I mean, you'll be having a conversation with an individual, and in the middle of the conversation, the person will look at their phone and then put it down, put it back.
Well,
in their
actually
pocket.
Become. Accepted behavior. I've seen people having a conversation and looking up and down at their phone, you know, texting while they're, you know, it's like, you know, had you done that without a phone, it would have been considered very rude. And it doesn't, even though it may still be rude, it doesn't seem to be considered so.
Right. That's a behavioral change.
Yeah.
Another big behavioral change is that you're going to see people using 2D codes, 2D barcodes, and they're just called 2D because instead of one-dimensional barcode across, they're simply square, so it's two-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
They should have named them something besides 2D codes, but that's what they call them. And a QR code, a quick response code, is a kind of 2D barcode.
Right.
People mistake that they're all QR codes, and they're really not. But the point of these codes is, they're going to be on a lot of packages and barcodes, which anybody can read right now, and there are tons of barcode scanners that you can get in your smartphone. People are going to go scan products, especially high-end products. So someone's scanning a $300 product. They scan it, and based on the UPC, just a standard UPC code, the phone within a couple of seconds will show them the price of that product in that store and the price of that product in all the surrounding stores by mileage.
Yeah.
So what happens is someone says, gee, I'm going to scan this product because I'm going to spend $300, and you find out that you can get it a mile away for $250, all of a sudden you leave the store, and that store has lost a $300 gross revenue product. Well, what happens is another consumer sees this, and this is how mobile is going to drive mobile. This is not coming from businesses driving customers to do something. It's from customers learning from other customers the value. So a customer sees somebody do that, and they'll say, excuse me, what are you doing? Well, I just scanned this, and look at this. See, I'm saving $50, so I'm going over to another store to get this.
And so now two of them leave, right?
That's exactly right. All of a sudden, someone says, well, I'm not technologically inclined, but I just saw how to save $50 very quickly, so I'm going to just go get a phone and get just that one app. And then it goes from there. So it's the value proposition.
Well, let's finish up on one topic that's very related to this because we're coming to the end of our time, and that's another topic that's getting a lot of buzz. Or, you know, you walk into, say, an Apple store and you want to buy something, and you know, there's no cash register. The person just zaps your credit card, you know, from their mobile device. So is that and the various, you know, technology and devices that enable that is you know, going out to where the customer is and transacting, you know, business, taking money, exchanging money. I mean, is that trend of mobile commerce something that's on us pretty fully?
Yeah, that'll be very big. The problem is that retailers are going to have to change the technology, their POS, their point of sale system, and that is not a small expense.
Yeah.
So that has to get resolved, and the credit card companies and the carriers have not yet resolved that. So and it's a big debate in the industry. I mean, there's a lot of money being spent because this involves trillions of dollars on the back end of processing, because you're not going to need that plastic credit card. It's going to be in your phone.
Well,
and Starbucks does it now. You have your phone scanned.
Well, and PayPal does it. I actually spoke at a series of eBay events, and they own PayPal, and they were buying my book at these eBay events, and they were where there's actually an app that uses something called bump technology that allowed us to bump our phones together. You know, they had to be logged into their PayPal account. I had to been logged into my PayPal account. We had to both agree on the amount, and then we bump our phones together and exchange $10.
Right. Yeah. And bump started as the app where you simply were exchange contact information.
Right.
So you bump
right.
your phone and your
right.
both your contacts go into your Outlook database instantly,
yep. right.
which is pretty cool. That stuff's being built into all phones now, NFC near field communication, so you'd be able to
mm-hmm.
swipe a phone in front
mm-hmm.
of something.
Mm-hmm.
That is the behavior change that's right around the corner. We are going to be doing that. It's, that's definite. There's no question.
Fun stuff, Chuck. So I'm talking to Chuck Martin, and we're talking about The Third Screen, Marketing Your Customers in the World Gone Mobile. And clearly this is an area that we have to continue to pay attention to and grow in and experiment. And I think that, you know, anytime we're talking about behavior changes, it's really hard for somebody to sit down and say, this is what's going to happen. So I think in our own industries, in our own communities, our own businesses, experimentation is probably in order.
Test and learn.
Yeah. So, Chuck, thanks for joining me. It was a pleasure, and I'm sure that I will see you out there on the road somewhere.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.